The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Ruzanowski and Drew Remenda.
San Jose Sharks hockey is on the ice just one more time in 2024-25, and it's tonight at SAP Center as they take on the Edmonton Oilers in game number 82. Can you believe, Drew, that we are here?
It seemed to go the last month easy, seemed to go as fast as I remember. I mean, for me, when we were at the Four Nations, watching the Four Nations, it was like, oh, we still got a ways to go. But after that, man, did it went quick.
Time flies, and now the Sharks have one more thing to get taken care of before they finish out the season. And you know what that is? That is to end a 10-game winless streak that probably could have, should have ended last game against Vancouver. A great game by Alexander Georgiev in the net, but unfortunately, the same disease that has befallen the Sharks, holding a third period lead, was just not possible once again. And so Vancouver found a way to get a W. So they did it for their home fans. Now it's time to talk about the Sharks' home fans, the fact that they've been such loyal partisans of San Jose Sharks hockey. You know, just an amazing group of people that we would like to thank.
Yeah, absolutely. Sharks fans, you are the best. You have backed us. You're great to Danny and me and Randy and anybody else that comes into our broadcast realm. You are great to the players. Another good showing here at practice this morning. You have been terrific all season long back in the San Jose Sharks. It does not go unappreciated. It does not go unnoticed. And I will tell you, from talking to the guys, you are not taken for granted. Thank you for everything all year long. And hopefully the Sharks tonight can give you a win and put a smile on your face going into next season.
We're looking forward to that. And obviously what's going to be interesting is see what the lineup is going to be for this contest. Looks to me like they're going to flip things around and put the sleepover line together once again, with Tyler Toffoli getting back alongside Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith.
Yep.
And that would mean Nikolai Kovalenko just shuffles around in the line combinations. But I have to say, Kovalenko has played well with those two guys and gave himself a pretty good evaluation there down the stretch.
Yeah, I think that he put an application in, that's for sure. I mean, that's really what we were talking about for a long time after the Sharks' fate was going to be the Sharks' fate, that you're playing for different reasons. You know, we've talked a lot about finding your why. Some of these guys finding their why is to get a new contract next season to stick with the San Jose Sharks. And Nikolai Kovalenko he's kind of an enigma to me, Danny. Great kid. I really like his spirit. I like his smile all the time. And I think he has an idea how he needs to play in order to be successful. But sometimes he gets lost a little bit as far as consistently trying to do the right thing with the puck. There's times when he forces the puck. There's times when he doesn't protect it when he should. And there's times when he passes when he should shoot. Mind you, that's an affliction a lot of guys have. But he's young. He is young. So when I look at Nikolai, I think, you know what, Nikolai could be somebody that, if he works on his game and gets consistent and is open to coaching. You and I know a lot of Russian hockey players. I have nothing, as you know, nothing but love for our Russian friends. But they are very difficult to coach because they have an idea in their head about how they're supposed to be and how they're supposed to play, and it's hard for them to accept coaching. We saw it for years, you know, when I was coaching. So
they didn't even accept coaching from Russian coaches.
No, exactly, especially from Russian coaches. So when I look at Nikolai, I think to myself, you know, there is definitely something there. Now, can the two parties, the coaches and Nikolai, come together to bring it all out?
This is not totally unusual. I'm going to be really interested next year also to see the Ryan Warshawski effect, the idea that after one full season as the head coach of the hockey team, he's implemented a program, he has a way of coaching the guys. And I'm thinking, and I'm going to compare it to Rod Brind'Amour. There are players that have gone to Rod Brind'Amour's team in Carolina that have a certain idea of the way that they think that is their optimum. They find out about conditioning. They find out about a lot of other things about the game. And that next season, after the 1 year with that coach, then they come back and they're totally a different player. We might see that with Kovalenko.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, you and I were talking about it. Great Trent Yanni. You got to get players to play the way they don't want to play so they can become the players they want to become. Because it's a matter of trying to push a guy out of his comfort zone to be better, to skate a little harder, to make the right play instead of the big play. So it's an adjustment in thinking. It's adjustment in attitude. It's a compromise between coach and player. It's coaching. That's what it is.
Well, who was it that said, I'm not criticizing you, I'm coaching you?
Todd McCullough.
Sounds
no,
right.
No, sorry, Larry Robinson.
Right.
Larry Robinson. It was Larry with one of the Sharks' defensemen. And sometimes it's hard for players to see the difference. But it is something that I think you're right, that Ryan Warshawski, the effect this year, we've seen it on the ice as far as how the guys have competed. Now, the win would really help into feeling good about going into next year. But if momentum doesn't carry from year to year, from game to game, it sure as hell not going to carry over a summer. But what it does, it adjusts the players' thinking. And that's what Ryan's tried to do.
And that's what's going to happen over the course of the summer. By the way, yesterday's festivities over at SAP Center, very emotional. For me, it was personal, too, because as you are, I'm a big fan of Logan Couture. Very sad to see that his playing career has to come to an end the way that it did. But I thought he handled everything with perfect class. I love the Jamal Mayer story that he told. I love all of the tributes that he got, not only from all the players that showed up to that, every single guy was there, but also some of his old buddies, you know, Ryan Clough, Patrick Marleau, Joe Thornton, and the guys that weren't there, Dan Boyle, Brent Burns, several others, sent really nice tributes, including some really nice thoughts from some of his former coaches.
Well, Logan's pretty much a coach's dream. He really is. And, you know, it's hard for an athlete to say goodbye to something that they've been doing their whole lives and been the 1% at, the less than 1% at being that good. Now, for Logan, it was extra tough because his body betrayed him. His body said, no, you can't do it anymore, even though his mind said, yeah, let's go. And so it was a very difficult thing to accept, but he seemed like he was at least with peace with it now. But like Peter DeBoer said yesterday on that video tribute you're talking about, 101 points in 116 playoff games, 30 and 24 the year they go to the Cup, Logan was clutch all the time.
Well, for me, the big image that I have is at that famous moment, game number 7, when he looked at everybody and said, that's one, yeah, when he scored the first goal of all those goals during that 5-minute major. Between that and Bob Airey's 14 points, we've got enough memories for a lifetime. But to me, that was just a statement of leadership that you don't see very often.
Put the team on his back there. The big leader, Joe Pavelski, was injured, was gone. He was in the dress room. Joe Thornton, also in that situation, when he turned and looked at Pete and said, leave him out there. You know, in that power play, because they were just rolling. And Logan, when he turned and went, that's one, left no doubt, absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind on the ice or in the stands that that team was coming back. I'm watching that game with my sons. I've told you this story back in Saskatoon. So jealous of you guys being able to make that call. And when he does it, my son Donovan turns, looks at me and goes, they're winning this game. They're winning this game. And when I look at that image again, I think about that image, that's the image that jumps out at me.
And so that's the image we'll think about as the season comes to an end. The Sharks need to win this game tonight. Scott Hannon and I will be on the air at 7 o'clock, and we'll have all of the exciting coverage for you right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Until then, that is our morning skate show for the day.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.